Defense Department Chief Information Officer Terry Halverson made some waves earlier this year when he said he'd like to see commercial companies construct and operate data centers on DoD property. The military would provide physical and cybersecurity, while the companies would bring the cost and scalability benefits of cloud technology. Now the Army's ready to try out a version of that idea. Federal News Radio's DoD reporter Jared Serbu writes about this in his latest edition of Inside the DoD Reporter's Notebook. He told me more about the Army's plans.
At Redstone Arsenal, Alabama, what the Army's doing here is, since that is a pretty Army-intensive part of the country and there are many bases in that immediate region, they're working on pretty much a geographically centered data center consolidation exercise. At the moment, there are many, many different Army components basically running their own data centers for their own purposes. And so as part of the Army data center consolidation initiative, they're going to try a pilot in which they don't just bring all the centers together into one single Army-owned data center. They're actually going to try and farm it out to industry. The interesting part about it is this would actually be on an Army base, which has never been done before. So it would be within the physical security perimeter. It would be within the cybersecurity perimeter that the Army operates as the joint regional security stacks begin to stand up across the country. But all the actual IT services would be provided by a vendor. So this is just in pilot mode at the moment. But it's once the proof of concept phase is done, they're hoping it might lead to bigger and better things for the Army.
So this is the IT equivalent of, say, closing a PX and telling Costco to come on in and carry all that stuff and you run it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good analogy, or the privatized on-base housing that was a big success starting in the late 1990s. We should say it's not like this exact thing hasn't been tried before. This is basically what the Navy Marine Corps intranet was back in the early 2000s. They basically just turned their entire network over to industry and said, please consolidate our data centers and take over everything else too. So the Navy has shown that this sort of thing can be done and more, but it is a very new concept for the Army. And it comes on the heels of Terry Halverson, the DoD CIO, saying back in January that he wanted to see more and more of this stuff. And Halverson actually took things a step further. He indicated that he wanted industry to come on bases, open data centers, and run DoD data services there, but also potentially sell their services at those on-base data centers to members of industry, people like the banking sector, who also have very high cybersecurity needs. So
the tattoo parlors surrounding bases who might be able to hook in there also.
Yeah, the tattoo parlors, sure. The check cashing stores, why not? But that sort of public-private partnership right now is barred by law. That would take a legislative change. But for now, this Army experiment is just going to be with DoD data, so we'll see how it goes.
At this point, they're just getting started, and there's no real timeline for making this happen. It's more of an intent to explore it.
It's an intent to explore it because the Army is really trying to figure out some of the cost equations of how it's going to go toward commercial cloud. One of the main underpinnings in the DoD commercial cloud strategy is that most of their cloud usage would be in off-site commercially hosted facilities, and then the data would move back and forth between DoD networks through NipperNet and SipperNet and the public internet and those cloud hosting providers through what they call a cloud access point, which would basically add on DoD's cybersecurity protections and make sure that all of that data is moving through, a common known connection. One of the Army's concerns about that, according to Doug Wiltsey, their program executive officer for Enterprise Information Systems, is that even if the data is being hosted offsite, the people running that commercial data center, if they're handling DoD data at higher sensitivity levels, they've still got to have clearances. And per NSA rules, that the data has to be physically segregated in different computers than whatever that data center might be hosting for commercial clients. So suddenly, right there, you've changed a big part of the economies of scale that you get out of cloud computing. You're basically running a mini DoD data center inside a commercial hosting provider. So, the benefits of cloud may start to dwindle. So these are all the kinds of questions they're trying to get to.
Well, that lack of commercial and military integration, sort of runs across almost everything DoD does,
sure,
where they do buy something that is also produced commercially, but it has to be a DoD version. Even often as the in the way they account for things has to be different.
Yeah, the cost accounting, the accountability for the supply chain of whatever components might have gone into a system, absolutely. Even when it's commercial, it's not always necessarily commercial.
Jared Serbu is Federal News Radio's DoD reporter. And then While we're talking about military cloud, it looks like in your reporter's notebook this week you have revealed the fact that there's quite a good bevy, a good flock of DOD available cloud commercials, cloud providers from the commercial side.
Yeah, other people might have different opinions about whether 36 is a lot, but I do think it's an impressive number given what we've come to expect with the, you know, basically any kind of DOD security approval process. So basically three dozen commercial cloud providers, not providers, but different cloud products. Some of them are probably duplicates, you know, two or three provided by the same company, but the 36 products anyway have gotten approval from the Defense Information Systems Agency to sell their services to DoD clients at the provisional authorization level, and most of those being at what DoD calls level two in terms of its impact levels. Level two is basically completely public data, or essentially public data that needs some level of privacy or cybersecurity protections, but very, very low level unclassified stuff.
Like websites.
Public websites is a perfect example, yeah. And then two of those 36 are at impact level four, which is the next level up. So that's also a pretty big milestone in terms of commercial companies getting authorization to handle data at that level, which is actually mission critical data. So DISA says, Roger Greenwell, DISA's cybersecurity director, told me on Friday that they've got at least one vendor in the pipeline that will also deal with up to level five, an even higher level. That's basically as high as you can go without getting into the secret level. So they are making some progress. Again, provisional authorizations does not mean that you automatically have the right to host DoD data, but it is a key step. You actually need an authority to operate, just to make things a little bit more complicated, from whichever DoD component you're selling your cloud services to before you can actually get up and running and provide services to the government. But the provisional authorizations is a key step. It's been a complaint from some members of industry that this is actually an extra layer on top of the FedRAMP process.
That was my next question.
Right.
Sounds like there's an extra hoop there.
It is an extra hoop because we are talking about DoD, but they've tried to make it as seamless, according to Greenwell, between FedRAMP and DoD as possible. He says these provisional authorizations that you need to get before you start to bid on an RFP or whatever are basically automatic once you're through the FedRAMP process at the moderate baseline level, which is really the only baseline that FedRAMP has right now. Once you've got your FedRAMP moderate certification, it's basically a done deal that you're going to get impact level two within DoD. That happens within a few days. You do need to fill out a little bit of paperwork just so DoD can track you and know that you have an authorization. So basically so that if your authorization gets pulled at some point, they know exactly which systems to go in and turn off and make sure that you're no longer handling data. They just want some visibility over that.
I mean, at some point it gets to become an artificial kind of division between, you know, the types of data and who can be certified to house it. If you build a place that cannot be gotten into, it doesn't matter whether you keep diamonds in it or cubit zirconium, it's still unavailable to prying hands.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why, you know, if you get a provisional authorization up to level five, you can still host level two data. And that's part of the way that they've designed the entire what they call FedRAMP Plus process, which is extra security controls on top of FedRAMP when you need to go up to level four, level five, level six. Those baselines that are part of level two, again, which you automatically get once you're through the FedRAMP process, it's not as though getting a level five certification requires starting from ground zero. It's FedRAMP or impact level two, and then some extra security controls that they evaluate. And they say that to try to make that process smoother, they're using the exact same third-party assessment organizations that FedRAMP would have looked at to look at the exact same cloud product.